If I had to pick one word for this week, it's supply chain. Not as a buzzword, as an actual, live, multi-front crisis. A 4-year-old OAuth token from a forgotten pilot program let attackers pivot through Salesforce integrations at Huntress, HackerOne, Jamf, Recorded Future, Tanium, and LastPass. Half the security vendor ecosystem got hit because nobody revoked a credential from 2022. Meanwhile, 430,000 FortiGate firewalls are actively sniffing credentials, Cisco has 2 critical vulns under active exploitation, and a fake AI agent skill waltzed past every marketplace scanner to reach 26,000 agents. If your security model depends on trusting your vendors, your tools, and your infrastructure, and whose doesn't? This was the week that trust got stress tested hard.
Welcome to the Clear Text Week in Review. I'm Alex Chen, alongside Jordan Reeves. If you couldn't keep up this week, here's what mattered and what it means. We're going to cover 4 themes today. First, the supply chain reckoning. From the Clue breach to FortiBleed to Tata Electronics, third-party risk went from theoretical to visceral this week. Second, the geopolitical landscape. A major botnet takedown, Russian intelligence evolving its signal targeting, and uncomfortable questions about surveillance tool controls. Third, governance and deadlines. A post-quantum executive order with hard dates, new FCC rules, and movement on CISA leadership. And fourth, the emerging AI attack surface and what the market is telling us about trust in AI security tooling. Let's get into it.
So let's start with supply chain, because this week was a masterclass in how third-party risk actually materializes. The Clue breach is the one I want CISOs to sit with. An attacker used a credential from a 2022 pilot integration, a pilot that apparently ended, but the OAuth token was never revoked. 4 years later, that token opened the door to Salesforce environments at companies whose entire business is security: Huntress, HackerOne, Recorded Future, LastPass, which really cannot catch a break. And then a second threat group piled on with a ransom demand.
What makes this one sting is the victim list. These aren't companies that lack security maturity. These are security companies. And the lesson isn't that they're incompetent, it's that the problem is structural. Every enterprise has hundreds of SaaS integrations, many from pilots and POCs that went nowhere. The OAuth tokens persist, the Salesforce connections persist. Nobody owns the lifecycle. If your identity governance program doesn't cover third-party OAuth grants with the same rigor as employee accounts, you have this exact exposure right now.
And then layer FortiBleed on top. This isn't a new vulnerability. It's the ongoing exploitation campaign where attackers deployed a Golang-based credential sniffer across roughly 430,000 compromised FortiGate firewalls, 110 million credentials harvested. These aren't firewalls that got popped and patched. They're firewalls that are actively operating as intelligence collection platforms for attackers. If you're running FortiGate and you patched but didn't do forensic validation, you should assume your traffic has been visible to someone else.
I want to connect that to the Tata Electronics breach. Tata is a primary manufacturer for Apple and Tesla. The details are thin. We don't know the full scope of what was exfiltrated, but the signal matters. Supply chain cyber risk isn't just about software and SaaS anymore. It extends into physical hardware manufacturing. If your iPhones or your fleet vehicles run through a compromised manufacturing partner, that's a fourth-party risk that almost no enterprise risk framework adequately captures.
And the Polymarket incident rounds this out nicely. $3 million stolen from customers because attackers breached a third-party vendor that had write access to Polymarket's production front-end and injected a malicious script. The vendor wasn't a code contributor, they were just some vendor with access. This is the same pattern over and over. The blast radius of your security is defined by whoever has write access to your production environment, and most organizations don't have a complete inventory of who that is.
So the through line for CISOs. This week, conduct an OAuth and API token audit across your SaaS estate. Prioritize tokens from integrations older than 12 months. Revisit your vendor access governance to include every party with write access to production, not just your direct engineering team. And if you're running FortiGate, treat this as an active compromise investigation, not a patching exercise.
Let's shift to the geopolitical picture. Operation Endgame was the big coordinated action this week. Europol, Microsoft, Bitdefender, ESET, and BitSight jointly took down the Amadei and SteelC malware as a service infrastructure. 200+ command and control servers, 27 million stolen credentials recovered. This is the second phase of Endgame. The first hit botnets like Smokeloader last year. What's significant is the targeting. They went after the assembly line, not just the finished product. These are the platforms ransomware operators use upstream.
And the timing matters. Black Kite's data showed ransomware attacks against European organizations jumped more than 50% in the past year, with third-party suppliers as the primary entry vector. So you've got law enforcement hitting the supply side of ransomware at exactly the moment the demand side is surging in Europe.
For CISOs with European operations or EU supply chains, this is a dual pressure. Regulatory enforcement under NIS2 and DORA is tightening, while the threat environment is intensifying. The takedowns help, but they're disruptions, not eliminations.
On the intelligence side, the FBI and CISA updated their advisory on Russian signal phishing. The original campaign used linked device tricks, essentially getting a target to scan a QR code that linked the attacker's device to the target's signal account. Now they've added recovery key theft. If an attacker gets your signal backup recovery key, they can restore your full message history, read everything, and effectively own the account permanently. The key doesn't expire. It doesn't rotate. One phishing success gives them persistent access.
This is directly relevant to executive communications. A lot of CISOs and their leadership teams move to Signal precisely because it's encrypted. But encryption doesn't help if the attacker has your recovery key. If your executives use Signal for sensitive discussions, and many do, you need to issue guidance this week. Do not share recovery keys under any circumstances. Enable registration lock. And frankly, consider whether Signal's backup model is appropriate for your threat environment.
And then there's the Cellebrite story, which is more of a slow burn, but important. Citizen Lab confirmed that Russian authorities used Cellebrite phone cracking tools to access a political opponent's iPhone after Cellebrite claimed to have terminated its contract with Russia. The tool kept working. The implication for CISOs is broader than Russia. When you offboard a surveillance or forensics vendor, can you actually verify they no longer have capability? The answer, apparently, is often no. Dual-use technology export controls have limited real-world enforcement.
Let's move to governance, because this week had some consequential regulatory developments. The big one, Executive Order 14409, sets hard deadlines for federal post-quantum cryptography migration. Key establishment algorithms must be in place by December 31, 2030. Digital signatures by December 31, 2031. National security systems are on a separate classified timeline.
And for anyone thinking this only matters to federal agencies, it doesn't. These deadlines will cascade into FedRAMP requirements, federal contractor certifications, and vendor qualification criteria. If you sell to the government or you're in the government supply chain, your PQC roadmap just got a hard deadline. 2030 sounds far away until you realize cryptographic migrations in large enterprises take 3 to 5 years. The planning window is now.
The XCC also finalized mandatory cybersecurity rules for emergency alert system distributors and undersea cable operators. This is a shift from voluntary guidance to enforceable requirements, and it's worth noting that these emergency alert systems were successfully hacked back in 2013. It took over a decade to move from incident to enforceable regulation. CISOs in telecom, ISP, and media sectors should review the final rule text.
And a quick note on CISA. DHS Secretary Mullen confirmed the president has met with a likely director nominee, with plans to hire 600 staff once confirmed. After months of the agency operating with Senate-confirmed leadership, this matters for the information-sharing relationships and regulatory posture that CISOs depend on. Watch the space.
On the vulnerability front, two Cisco stories deserve attention together. CVE 2026-20230 in Unified Communications Manager. Unauthenticated, remote, CVSS 8.6, actively exploited after a public proof of concept, CISA set a Sunday patch deadline for federal agencies. And CVE-2026-20245 in Catalyst SD-WAN Manager, which Mandiant confirmed was exploited as a zero-day at a communication service provider at least 2 months before public disclosure. That's root-level access on network infrastructure, pre-patch.
The SD-WAN zero-day is the more concerning of the two. 2 months of pre-disclosure exploitation at a comms provider suggests a sophisticated actor with access to vulnerability intelligence before the public, whether through independent discovery or something else. This is a reminder that patching on disclosure is necessary but not sufficient. If your threat model includes nation-state actors, you need detection capabilities that don't depend on knowing the specific CVE.
And quickly on the Cordyceps CI/CD vulnerability, Novi Security found an exploitable pattern in GitHub Actions workflows, affecting 300-plus repositories at Microsoft, Google, Apache, and others. GitHub pushed a fix on June 18th, but if your engineering teams use pull request target triggers, audit those workflows now. This is a class vulnerability, not a single bug.
Last theme, AI attack surface. The AIR research firm built a fake AI agent skill, pushed it through a marketplace and an Instagram ad, and it reached 26,000 agents, including corporate accounts. Every marketplace security scanner marked it safe. The payload was deliberately benign, but the research proves the full attack chain works at scale. AI agent marketplaces are an uncontrolled attack surface, and most security programs haven't even started thinking about them.
And on the flip side, Cobalt study found that only 9% of organizations now rely solely on AI for vulnerability scanning, down 20 percentage points. The market is course-correcting away from fully autonomous AI security tooling toward human-AI hybrid models. If you're evaluating AI security products or presenting AI security strategy to your board, the narrative has shifted. Pure automation is losing credibility. Human oversight is back in favor.
So, what defined this week? I'd say it was a week where the complexity of modern enterprise dependencies became painfully visible. Supply chain risk isn't one thing. It's forgotten OAuth tokens, compromised firewalls acting as sensors, third-party vendors with production right access, hardware manufacturers, and geopolitical crosshairs. It's all of it, simultaneously.
Agreed. And what I'd add is that this week showed a widening gap between the speed of threat evolution and the speed of institutional response. Russian intelligence is iterating on signal phishing faster than most security teams update their awareness training. Attackers exploited a Cisco Zero Day 2 months before anyone knew about it. A fake AI skill bypassed every scanner. The defense community is getting better at takedowns and regulation, but the cycle time mismatch is the fundamental challenge. Going into next week, I'd prioritize three things: OAuth and API token hygiene across your SaaS estate, forensic validation of any FortiGate infrastructure, and executive guidance on Signal backup key security. Those are the actions that map to this week's actual threat surface.
And if you're in a regulated industry with government exposure, start socializing those post-quantum deadlines internally. 2030 comes fast.
That's your week in review. The Daily Show returns Monday. Show notes and links to all stories covered today are at cleartext.fm. I'm Alex Chen.
I'm Jordan Reeves. Have a good weekend.